Yesu unapozuru wengine usinipite. Tumpigie Yesu makofi tena. Asanteni sana. Thank you. I want us to take time and appreciate the leadership of this team, the guys on equipment there, and the media people. God bless you. Amen. And you are looking good. Tell the person next to you, they are looking good. Better than yesterday. Hallelujah. And tomorrow? Yeah. And wear shades. Amen. Another round of applause to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Glory to God. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 35 to verse 41, under the subject, The Voice That Silences the Storm. The Voice That Silences the Storm. Today, every storm must go mute and quiet, never to rise again, in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 4, verse 35, NIV, says the following. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern or the back, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, and this is a very important posture of authority. He got up, then the speech, he said something. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, what did he say? "Quiet, be still!" Exclamation mark. Then the wind died down, and the Bible says it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified, asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that again this Sunday, we have the opportunity of partaking of your word. Holy Spirit, we know you are here. And we pray that you open up this word to each one of us. And that God, you renew our strength today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We may have our seats. Now, the people in the diaspora, some of them send texts and they say, "Pastor, on Sunday, remember us." And so those in the pavilion, those here, we have a chance to remember the ones in the diaspora. And so they ask me if you can just wave at us and also bless us. And I say, I wave at you. This is the wave of blessing in Jesus' name, wherever you are around the world. And then for the congregation to give a hand clap, for them to hear the sound. Let's give it to the Lord. Amen. Thank you. We are a family. We love you. The voice that silences the storm. And in today's sermon, I bring it across to us in three areas: the voice of prayer, the voice of prophecy, the voice of praise. It's very straightforward. The voice of prayer, the voice of prophecy, the voice of praise. Prayer, prophecy, and praise. The voice that silences the storm. And I want to start with the voice of prayer. Right now, we know that the world is going through a storm, as it were. And it's a global issue. This is a global issue. We live in a storm-tossed world. And the storms that we are engaging are all kinds. Some are physical. We can see them. We can touch them. We experience them in a physical way. Some of them we can't see. These are storms that are unseen. And they are somewhere inside us. And we cannot see them. And the storms we can't see sometimes are more serious than the storms we actually see. There could be a storm in your mind, and right now we are having a lot of mental disturbance and mental health issues, and people are doing things that we never thought they could do, were not expected within the family and also the workplace because of mental health issues. We have storms in the mind. We also have storms in the emotions. We don't see them, but emotional disturbance is happening. Lack of peace completely. We also have spiritual storms that happen right in the spirit. And in some instances, we are having a combination of storms, whereby it's mental, it is emotional, it is spiritual, and it is even manifesting. It actually becomes physical. And even the finest of therapists, and I encourage people to go for counseling, it's very, very helpful. Don't keep the problem to yourself. Share with somebody else. We find that even the best of counseling is not able to touch or reach some of these situations and silence the storm. But I want to say today, there is a voice that silences the storm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the text we have just read is an amazing text on the voice that silences the storm. And it doesn't matter how big that storm is, because I know we have baby storms, we have a storm in a cup, we have the storm in the workplace, storm in family, storm on the streets, storm in different kinds of places, storm in the sitting room, storm in the bedroom, storm in the balconies, storms in the compound. It doesn't matter the size of the storm, there is a voice that silences the storm. And so today we are looking at that voice. Pastor Ambrose, I thank God for the theme of this month. It's just amazing, giving us back that voice that's going to make a difference wherever we go. And that voice is inside you. It is actually inside you. It just simply needs to be released. The voice needs to be released. And as you release that voice in the name of Jesus Christ, you release an empowered voice, the voice of prayer, the voice of prayer. I looked around for a definition of storm, and I found one definition that said, a violent disturbance of the atmosphere with strong winds, and usually rain, thunder, lightning, and things like that. And I want to say our operating environment is already a disturbed atmosphere. Starting with COVID, the end of the year 2019, we finished that year, that December, things were okay. We heard about COVID. It was very far, somewhere in China. We never thought it would ever get to us. But slowly and surely started encroaching right here in our midst. And by March of the following year, which I believe is 2020, by March of the 2020, it had landed. And it started completely disorienting our lifestyle, disorienting our finances, disorienting our routines, disorienting how we were relating. There was a storm in the midst of all of us here in Kenya and around the world. And then, of course, you know, here in church, we had one Sunday, a full house like this one. The following Sunday, we just had benches. And Pastor Ambrose, you remember that time. You know, when you are here, the pulpit is here, but just angels are sitting all over. You look up there, and we had to retrain ourselves. We were thrown into the deep end on how to minister to an empty sanctuary. And by faith, believing that there are people somewhere listening to us online. And thank God for a faithful congregation. Give yourself a hand clap. Hallelujah. Despite COVID and the plague, we continued to minister and connecting online, and the ministry continued. Thank God for the young people, these ones on camera, the worship teams, and the others who came without stopping and continued to serve from this altar. And that is how the ministry got to you. The media and the young people and their skills, they came and released this ministry to where you are. Why don't we appreciate the young people? Let's give a big hand, really, to the young people. We give it all to them. God bless you. You know, storms will come. Storms are inevitable, and they will come, both small and big. But there is a voice that needs to rise. It's a voice from the prayer closet. It's called the voice of prayer. The volume of prayer needs to rise if the storm is to be silenced. I want you to know that these guys were experts in terms of seafaring, in terms of rowing the boats, and they understood very well the Sea of Galilee, the whole topography and the dynamics of the sea. They understood it very, very well. But I want to say human power has its limit. And especially where you face existential issues, matters storm and storms of all sizes. We live in a time when people are trying to sort out storms in their own strength. But I'm here to remind us that your strength and my strength have a limit. The psalmist writes in Psalm 20 verse 7, some trust in chariots, others trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. My sister, your mental strength has a capacity, your emotional strength has a capacity, your spiritual strength has a capacity, and even your physique has a capacity. There is a place we are stretched, and that place you need now to connect with God so that God can help you through. And that is where prayer comes in. Remember, these were men, and we know very well men, before they start sharing, before they get to that place where they want to open up and share what is inside them, it takes them almost to the breaking point. If it's a sickness, it will have grown inside. It has become a big sickness. So by the time a man gets to the doctor, it is reaching those levels, you know, those levels where we say intervention is almost impossible. And in this particular boat, a man who I experienced in this particular sea, but something showed up called a storm that was bigger than them, but it needed somebody bigger than the storm. And I want to speak to my brothers, men who are here. Let us be talking to someone. Hallelujah. My brothers, are you here? Am I hearing the response from men? And you can hear that response. Let's learn to talk to somebody before it is too late. Let us get to talk to somebody, and especially talking to God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Men carry a lot, but they keep it inside themselves. And if you say men don't cry, I know they do, because I'm one of them. And let me tell you, right in the bed there, in the middle of the night, like Paul and Silas, you remember men at midnight? That's when their tears roll, and they're usually very warm. I'm speaking from experience. Right inside the duvet, it's supposed to be a sacred place, a quiet place, a place of rest and peace. But right in the middle of the night, you have a man right there looking and facing everything about their life, and they have reached the edge. And right there, tears are beginning to flow. And if this man or has a spouse, they'll face the other side so that the tears go the other way. And in the morning, when he wakes up, he spruces himself up and wears his tie and suit and everything, and is looking good. But through the night, this man was shedding tears. I want to say there is a storm that is there in your life. In your own strength, you can't handle it. Now, these guys tried rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing. Human knowledge, human technology, and everything exposed to humankind. With all the effort we give this boat, at some point, there is a storm that comes and becomes impossible to push it. And it becomes obvious to the neighbors, obvious to your family, that this man, something is just not right. He is not the same, or she is not the same. But I want to say today, it is possible to silence that storm, not in your strength, but in the strength of one who is stronger than you. And his name is Jesus. And so today, I suggest to us that the voice of prayer is one that we need to train ourselves in. And prayer in the name of Jesus. And you find that in that text, actually in verse 38, there is what you call the emergency prayer, you know, the prayer of distress. But it doesn't matter anyway. Verse 38, if I can have it on the screen. Yeah, Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. There is that kind of prayer that this man now finally turned to. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we drown?" They turned to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, don't you care that we drown?" It doesn't matter how you pray, you know, but pray anyway. Just pray anyway. And what is prayer? Prayer is a conversation with God. Prayer is beautiful. When does prayer happen? Prayer happens when we are able to trust God enough to pass on the storm to Him, to pass on the agenda and the matter and the home and the family and the marriage and the business and the career and your studies and your examinations. When we are able to completely and totally release it into the hands of God. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 and 7 says the following: "Have no anxiety, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart," and you know I've said it before, "will keep your heart from blood pressure and will keep your mind from depression." You know, I will keep your heart and your mind where it should be in Christ Jesus. And so prayer is beautiful. When does prayer happen? When successful prayer happens, it is when you have actually handed over the storm, handed over the matter to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so these disciples realize they can't push this boat further, and so they turn to Jesus. They think he's sleeping. God never sleeps. He doesn't slumber nor sleep. He is aware and is conscious. He's in the same boat. And they say, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" Let me quickly say to somebody here, God cares. God cares. You have reached a place you've been praying for so long, and you think God doesn't care? I am here to tell you again, prayer is legit. Prayer is valid. Prayer works. And God cares. Don't disconnect. Don't delink. Continue praying. In Luke chapter 18 verse 1, there is a story of a lady who is persistent, seeking justice. And Jesus says something, because she's giving the parable of this persistent widow. He said, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, "Pray continuously," or "pray without ceasing." Prayer must not stop. Prayer is something we need to do. I visited a home in Runda not long ago with Martin Bathy. And this homestead, they have a chapel inside the house. It was very, very amazing. They have a place of prayer. And I was taken together with Martin to the chapel. Inside the house, it has chairs. It has pews like this ones. And there is a pulpit like this one. And I was asked by the family to go to the pulpit and say a word to them. And they sat like this. A chapel inside a house. They have a place of prayer. Let me say this. That storm, you're not going to manage it on your own. You need to engage and invite God in that situation. And how do you do it? Simply by prayer. You know, Moses, we've been talking about Moses this month. In Exodus chapter 17, the Bible says, as long as his hands were lifted, the Israelites were winning. But the moment his hands came down, the Israelites started losing. I'm giving you a principle and a dynamic of victory, that storm you can't handle in your strength. You need to pray and look up to God and trust him fully. And I can assure you that when you pray, God answers. There is a great promise in prayer. Matthew 7:7. Let us say it from memory. Matthew 7:7. What does it say? "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. For whoever asks receives. Whoever seeks finds. And whoever knocks, the door shall be open." What a major statement on the program, the power and promise of prayer. Matthew 7:7. And God is waiting for that prayer. And he's saying, when you pray, I will move. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and pray, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Even now, I want to say the panacea for the high cost of living around the world is prayer. I dare say that COVID was not sorted out by vaccines. COVID was sorted out by God. How many agree with me? It is God. It is God who sorted out that storm. It is not vaccines. And I want to say it's God who heals eventually. A doctor does diagnostics and prescriptions, but the last docket called healing belongs to one and only one, and his name is Jehovah. You can get a diagnosis, you can get prescriptions, but the whole impact of that depends on God and God alone. And so today, we know that when we pray, something begins to happen. And there is a powerful promise in terms of prayer. And so I'm inviting us once again to the place where we can voice prayer. During the week, I was somewhere on Friday evening before the Kesha here, near Kingero, Wangige area, and I visited with two house groups, the One Tree house group and the Memuto house group. And we met in a home somewhere there, and we were many. We were packed in the sitting room like this of that homestead. I felt like it was Pentecost, and today is Pentecost Sunday, by the way. Yeah, I felt like we were having a Pentecost moment in that sitting room. And when we started singing and praying, the Holy Spirit just came in our midst. And all of us agreed there was a shift. When you pray, the Holy Spirit takes over. When you pray, God takes over. And let me encourage you. When you pray, don't hold your request on this side. God is trying to take it on the other side. And you are refusing to let go. When you pray, simply release it totally in the hands of God. And then the shalom of God will come upon your life in a way you have never understood. In Jesus' name I declare, I release a prayer on your behalf that we release that storm and that issue completely into the hands of God. Let's give a hand to the Lord. It is given over to the Lord. Therefore, pray. Secondly, the voice of prophecy. The voice of prophecy. Three elements of prophecy. One is authority. The other one is conviction. And the third one, element of prophecy, is the word of God. Prophecy must be rooted in scripture, but when that scripture is picked and then spoken with conviction and also spoken with authority, that is what prophecy is all about. Anyone and everyone is a prophet. We prophesy. When you read the book of Acts chapter 2 about the Holy Spirit and about the last days, it says your men, your servants, men and women shall prophesy. And you know what? Prophecy is what you speak. There are two sides to prophecy. There is forthtelling, that is, you speak now, like I'm speaking. And there is also beforetelling. You're telling something that will happen in the days that are coming. And the tendency when the word prophecy is mentioned, we always think it's a seer. You know, somebody will come and see things of tomorrow and bring them today. And while there is that element, there is the forthtelling. The forthtelling. The voice of prophecy has been stolen from God's people, sometimes because of the definition, sometimes because of we, the preachers, and what we do with prophecy. And for many reasons, you find many people have walked away from releasing the voice of prophecy. And let me say here today, each one of you can prophesy. You don't have to go to Shakahola. You know that place? You don't have to go to a prophet in Ngara, somewhere in a corner. you don't have to go to that place. You don't have to go someplace in Kilimanjaro. I went to climb Mount Kilimanjaro some time back, and I was with a group of men. We went through Moshi, Marangu Gate, and now going up. And I realized there are many people who go there and they set up all kinds of altars. And there are people who go there for special prayers, and others travel there to meet those ones who are experts in prophecy and those kind of prayers. I want to say that each one of us can prophesy, because we can speak to the storm. And the prophecy in the text here is simply speaking to the storm. Give me verse 39. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. What did Jesus do? He got up, and then he did what? Rebuked the wind. He spoke and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." The wind died down, and it was completely calm. I see somebody standing up. I see a father standing up. And in that homestead, you take your mantle with conviction and with authority on the basis of God's word. I see a father standing up and picking a scripture, speaking to the storm and saying, "You storm, your shelf life is over, and I cancel you, reverse you, silence you right now in the name of Jesus Christ." Are there men in the house? Can I see men waving, the men in the house? Hallelujah. The ladies, let's celebrate the men. These are the prophets and they are the priests. Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind and the waves. And the Bible says the whole place turned around and became completely calm. Now, we are having storms around the world, and we discuss them just like everybody else. For example, the storm of inflation around the world. We can speak to inflation and ask inflation to come down. You know, I was checking somewhere and I saw, it's amazing what's happening around the world right now. The inflation in one country called Venezuela is 100%. I don't know how they are surviving. No, 1,000, not 100, 1,000%. Inflation in another country called Lebanon is 201%. In Sudan, it's 34%. In Zimbabwe, it is 60%. In Argentina, it is 51%. In Turkey, 36%. In Syria, 139%. You know Kenya, what the inflation is? Kenya, 9.2, just around, yes, 9%. In the UK, it has come below 10, it's now 8.7. The US, it has gone above the long-term average, which is about 3, now it's about 5%. And you can see that inflation, the storm called inflation, is all around the world. But I want to say the church, through the prophetic voice, has the solution. We have the solution. And we can speak to inflation and say, "Inflation, calm down." Do you remember Isaac, who planted crops during famine? Do you know that scripture? And he harvested many times over because the Lord blessed him. God is able to sort out an economic crisis. In Deuteronomy 8 verse 18, the Bible says, God gives us the power to make wealth. And so the power to make wealth actually comes from God. And so where does our help come from? We lift our eyes to the Lord because our help comes from the Lord. And even matters economics, God is able to sort that out. All we need to do is take a prophetic mantle and begin to speak. All these things that we see around, for example, discouragement, depression, darkness, despair, debt, disease, broken dreams, disturbances, both during the day and the night, grief, anxiety, guilt, regret, failed plans, and many other things that are causing this storm. I want to say, when we begin to prophesy, a dynamic is released that reverses them and silences those voices. And in Jesus' name, I silence the voice of depression in somebody's life right now. I silence those disturbances right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Because God is our shalom. Isaiah 26:3 says, "He keeps them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And therefore, I decree and declare your peace in Jesus' name. You know, Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones did not go there on holiday. Ezekiel went to prophesy, chapter 37 and verse 10, in the valley of dry bones. And it's a place that was totally hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. As I said those words, Pastor Ambrose, I remember what you normally say, what your father used to say. Hopeless, and I don't know what you do with the hand, but hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. That was the situation in the valley of dry bones. And you are here, they have also said hopeless, hopeless. In your workplace, your boss has said you are hopeless. Me, I reverse it, I say you are not hopeless. In Jesus' name. And Ezekiel is there. What equipment does he have? Nothing else except prophecy. He needs to speak forth. He needs to speak before. He needs to speak with authority and conviction. He needs to rehearse the word of God who has told him, prophesy, say the following. And so the Bible says, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. I am saying this, we are reclaiming the prophetic dimension, each one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we shall go back to scripture. We shall mine from the scriptures. We shall mine the scriptures, the promises of God, and we shall refresh them within our hearts. And we shall go to dead situations based on the word of God, and we shall speak with conviction and authority in those situations. And I want to say the storm will cease in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can you imagine 1,000, 3,000 prophets leaving this place and going in all those streets, and you begin to prophesy where accidents happen all the time, and you say, I decree life in this place, and I declare no other accident will happen on this road in Jesus' name. So you don't have to wait for a pastor. Otherwise, we shall have shakaholas repeat again and again. We must take it personally, individually, the mantle of the prophetic dimension. First of all, the mantle of prayer, take it back. You can pray. The mantle of prophecy, take it back. You can prophesy. And all these storms that are in people's lives that make them travel to Malindi, travel to, there was a place in Tanzania some time back, Loliondo, was it called? What was it called? People are taking a juice. It was Oliando. All these storms that are making people troop, fly, and go to all kinds of destinations, and some of those are dark spaces where you need not be. Hallelujah. We won't have to make trips to those places because the solution is where you are, and that storm must be silenced, and the person to silence it is you. You, a mother in the home, if your child is in drugs, go to the closet. Take scripture also, the prophetic mantle. Mention the name of your son. And you say, in Jesus' name, I unshackle you from this drug problem. I release you from that prison. I decree your freedom. Because the scripture says, John 8:36, whoever the Son of God sets free is free indeed. Anyone can pick that scripture. Anyone can go to the place of prayer with it. Anyone can prophesy using that scripture. And I tell you, when you begin to do that, something begin to happen in the life of that child. Something begin to be reversed. The child who never came home is coming home. Hallelujah. Is coming home. The prodigal son. The prodigal son is coming back and is coming home. But we must take this mantle once again. And that's why I say, Pastor Ambrose, this month, empowered voice, all you have empowered us by saying we have the voice, the women have the voice, the men have the voice, the youth have the voice, children have the voice, we have the voice. But the storm is waiting for someone to actually release, unleash that voice through prayer and through prophecy. It is not an exclusive area for an elite group of people, sometimes called the clergy. This is for everyone. The Holy Spirit, and today's Pentecost, has been poured upon all flesh. And for that reason, we can function in prayer, we can function in prophecy, and those tongues of fire were on everybody who was there. And therefore, the fire of God is inside you. But finally, I must finish by saying the voice of praise. Not just the voice of prayer, revival in prayer, revival in prophecy, but also the voice of praise. So simply praise. Praise is a key. Praise is a weapon. And you see in verse 41 what happened. Give me 41. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." By the miracle of the silencing of the storm, Jesus was revealed in a new way. And we are this month talking about inspired revelation. Inspired revelation. The word of God inspires this revelation. And Jesus is the word incarnate. You know? So it's a moment of revelation. And the disciples are experiencing what is called a wow factor. And a wow moment. Let me say this. When God does something, a sign and a wonder in your life, you will grow in knowing him to the next level. And your worship and praise will be enhanced. Like that cripple we quote all the time, when he was healed, Acts 3:6, he went into the temple, he didn't care about anyone, and he was jumping and praising God. Why? Because he had a testimony, and nobody could take away that testimony from him. And he felt the Lord has touched his life. And for that reason, he became a free worshiper. You know, just a guy who praises God without worrying about anyone. It's just like that lady, and this story is told over and over again, who used to sit in front somewhere, and she used to really make a lot of noise, praise noise, in the middle of the, you know, when the sermon is going on, she just keeps responding. And it would disturb some of the leaders. And so the leaders had a deal with her and told her, "If you stop making this noise, we are going to buy you a blanket." And of course, they went and did whatever they did. Then she came the next Sunday. In the middle of the praise, I think the sermon, she said, "Blanket or no blanket." Hallelujah. In other words, I break the deal. That's a deal I won't keep. I can't keep it. You know, God is doing stuff every day for me. I am full of testimonies. Do they know what happened on Monday? Do they know what happened on Tuesday? Do they know what happened on Wednesday? Do they know what the Lord did for me on Thursday and on Friday and yesterday? Do they really know? I don't care. Whoever is around me, blanket or no blanket, I will praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I will praise the Lord, blanket or no blanket. And as I look at us, I see people who have testimonies. And this voice of testimony, this voice of praise, this voice of thanksgiving needs to show up in our workplaces. We need to talk to our children and tell them what the Lord has done. You know the power of praise. Praise causes storms to calm down. I mean, to the voice of the storm to be silenced. Jehoshaphat, if you remember the story of Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I believe from around verse 20 there, Jehoshaphat actually set up a singing group, yeah, to lead the army. They are the ones who were leading the army into warfare. And the Bible says early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah." And Pastor Ambrose, Judah means aggressive praise. Yes, Judah, and people of Jerusalem, have faith in the Lord, your God, and you'll be upheld. And have faith in his prophets as well, and you'll be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. God has sorted out that situation. There's been a storm in your life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We can give a hand to the Lord. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and it has disappeared from this side. Is it still anywhere? So they went to collect the plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the valley of Baraka to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the people temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat, this is a verse I wanted to get to, verse 30. Why don't we read it together? And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Can you make it first person and you say that my world will be at peace, for God is giving me rest from every side? Let's make it first person. For my world will be at peace, or is at peace, for God has given me rest from every side. A hand clap to the Lord. Glory to God. That's the power of praise. And the voice of praise needs to be recovered. One of the things I do, I have a guitar under my bed. And I have learned the importance of taking that guitar. And in my bedroom, I just hang it here, and I just play songs. And you know, as I begin to play songs, the storms in my life go silent as I start singing songs of praise. We have taught you the alphabet of praise from A to Z. You can walk around that bedroom or sitting room or in that house, that business where there is a heavy spirit of depression and darkness has been a storm for a long time. You can walk around and with the alphabet begin to say, God is amazing. God, you are amazing. God, you are beautiful. God, you are caring. God, you are a darling. God, you are everlasting. God, you are faithful. God, you are good. And what do you say for H? God, you are... Okay? Holy. God, you are holy. And what about Z for Z? This is an exam for this side here. For Z. God, you are? My zeal, eh? Hallelujah. I can hear something. Yeah, going on. But you have a whole permutation of statements you can make just from the alphabet, from A to Z. And as you begin to praise, your focus shifts from the storm to the author of the breakthrough. And within no time, you are lifted from inside. And as you focus to him who is God and who is King, he comes and takes over the situation and sorts it out. By the time you're turning the other way, you find the storm has already been dealt with. And so today, my brothers and sisters, I want to say that the storm in your life, the Lord is sorting it out. Through the voice of prayer, through the voice of prophecy, and through the voice of praise. And even the storm in our continent, the Lord is sorting out. Africa is rising, and Africa shall provide for the rest of the world. Because God is moving in this continent in a very new way, in a very special way. Because there is prayer in Africa. There is prophecy in Africa, and there is praise in Africa. We shall dance like David until our clothes come down. And people start saying, these guys are foolish. They are not foolish. They are doing what's the right thing. Technology has not sorted out the global storm. Yeah, science has not sorted out the global storm. But we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who sorted the storm in that sea by sorting it out now in Africa in Jesus' name. How many agree with me? He is taking over. Right now, even in the U.S., they are trying to raise the debt ceiling. And there is a big discussion between the Republicans and the Democrats. And they are talking this way, talking the other way. It reached a place You know, where debt has reached saturation and they have to raise the ceiling. I want to say, instead of raising the ceiling, let us pray. Let us prophesy. Let us praise. And I tell you, God will send rain. God is going to bless us. And God is going to turn the tide. And as I talk about what God is about to do, sorting out the storm, even in Africa, I know we have reached the season of Africa. Arise, Africa, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The destiny of Africa is now, and Africa is shining. Pastor Ambrose, you know, we already have some people who are in South Africa, men from this church, and they drove. They came here, they started, they drove. Some of our men, they were in Cape Town on Friday. I think on Friday they were in Cape Town. They drove through the countries, and they're driving back this way, and they're doing a prayer drive, because prayer is the key, and prayer is the answer. And as they cut through, they slice through, hallelujah, those countries, you see the storm being silenced. And like the Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning as they drive through in those places. This coming week on Saturday, Pastor Mashina here, God willing, and Pastor Victor and myself, we are taking off to Yaounde, Cameroon. And we are going there because we see a gateway to the West African region. And we are going there to do a prayer. Ancient gates be lifted up and let the King of Glory come in. Pray for us as we go there in Cameroon, Yaounde. This coming Sunday, we should be there. And as a witness that we are going, there is a come here, Val. Just come here. There is a Cameroonian in the house. Let's give a hand to the Lord as he's coming in the house. And you see the attire of Africa, looking very amazing. He's called Fule or Ful Valentin. Hallelujah. From the Temple of Prayer, he's a minister, he's a leader from Yaounde, Cameroon, and he's also the CEO of Valley Fashions. He's a designer of this, but in Cameroon, he also designed the uniforms for the Olympic teams, isn't it? The last Olympic, and delegations from Cameroon going out, he designs their clothes. Can we appreciate the skill and the gift which is here? And so he's among those who are receiving us on the other side together with their friends. We had others in the first service. Anybody else from Cameroon here? Yes, would you stand from Cameroon? Oh, yeah, our sister there. Let's give a hand to the Lord and appreciate. God bless you. She's from Cameroon. Anybody else upstairs, Cameroon? Yeah, we had a number in the first service. And you can see how we are connected. Pastor Ambrose, this is an international church. I get excited. A macrocosm of Africa. And we see the nations represented all over here. I get goosebumps when I think about that. And God is connecting us, the nations of Africa. For the season has come for Africa to arise, Africa to shine, and the glory of the Lord to be seen through Africa. And I'm telling you, like Pastor Andrew says, our tomorrow, Africa is better and brighter than our yesterday. And we are going to shine. We are going to meta. Amen. The resources of Africa shall be value added here. Amen. The wealth will be here. Amen. And we shall reach out to the whole world. Amen. For the glory of God. Amen. I am prophesying. Amen. Africa has a future. Africa has a bright destiny. And the day has come. Thank you very much. You may have your seat. Let's appreciate him again. Thank you. Turn to the person and next to you, tell them the storm is over. You never know. You're talking to somebody there, that word they needed. The person, the other person on the other side, just tell them with conviction. You are prophesying. Conviction and authority. The storm is over. In Jesus' name. Let's all rise as we pray together. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for that text we just went through in Mark chapter 4. And Lord, thank you that the reality of that day can be replayed in the 21st century, because storms in their nature really never change, and people are the same through the centuries. My God, I thank you that it can be replayed and recaptured in our day and time. And even as I pray here today, I know that Jesus, you are in our midst. You are not asleep. You are awake, and your word is law to nature and the things seen and the things unseen. And this word you have now given to us, it's in the Bible, and you have released it and delegated to us so that, God, we can speak with authority. Like Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. My God, that in our time and season, we can prophesy and speak like you did in that boat, and storms can be silenced. My Father, from this altar, we take the role of a global position and also a continental position. We also take a national position, but we take a family home position, but also take an individual position. And today we speak to the storms of the day, and we say, peace be still. Quiet be still. Shalom. We rebuke the storms today, and we silence them in Jesus' name. And we say, quiet be still. Quiet be still in Jesus' name. My God, I know you found a boy in Matthew 17 who had a storm in his life. He was a paralytic. He used to fall in water, fall in fire. The father was so disturbed. That family, because of that case within the family, they were undergoing disturbance. There was a storm. They would never know peace. But Jesus, you addressed the situation, and with authority, you asked this demon to leave that boy. And the demon left that boy, and the boy became peaceful again, and he found his peace once again. My God, you've given us authority through prayer, through prophecy, and through praise. And I know as we go back to our homes, we are going to exercise these things. Jesus, you found that man who had been a cripple for 38 years in John chapter 5, and you also spoke to his life, and he regained again his walking ability. My God, there is no storm you cannot sort out. Jesus, you are bigger than this storm. You know your life, you know your situation, you know your family. It might be a financial storm. It might be a disease storm. It might be whatever storm. Jesus is bigger. And today in Jesus' name, with the authority I have in union with Jesus, and together with Pastor Ambrose, we agree that no storm will stand in your path in the name of Jesus Christ. No storm will stand in your path in Jesus' name of Jesus. And as we leave this place, we shall go with what is our portion, the peace that passes all understanding. For God has taken over. And therefore, by prayer today, we release every storm. By prophecy, we speak and rebuke the storm. And by praise, we create an atmosphere where the storm cannot function and survive again. And we receive our breakthrough. We receive our salvation. We receive our healing. We receive our deliverance. Today, we receive our portion, because our God is able, and God has done it. And we thank you and we bless you, because we know this week we are seeing your hand, not just at home, not just at a personal level, but in Kenya, in Africa, and the whole world. Because without you, my God, we cannot make it. And we have prayed this prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we all say, let's give a mighty hand clap to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Again, turn to the person next to you. Tell them the storm is over. I sense in my spirit you need to say that. The storm is over. You are blessed on Monday. Blessed on Tuesday. Blessed on Wednesday. Blessed on Thursday. Blessed on Friday. Blessed on Saturday. And the coming Sunday, you're so blessed, you come with a testimony to the church in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Amen.